This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
More people in the unemployment line.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Steve Chiatakis. The Labor Department this morning reports initial jobless claims rose again last week. First-time requests for unemployment benefits topped 654,000. That's up about 2.5% from the week before. Nariman Baravish is chief economist at IHS Global Insight. He says the numbers make clear the depth of the recession.
Right now, there's not a lot of good news, but I think there is light at the end of the tunnel in the sense that we do believe that in the second half of this year, the employment situation and the economy as a whole will stabilize.
Baravish says while employment is weighing on Wall Street, the health of banks is weighing even more. Right now, the market's down about 0.25% for the Dow, S&P 500, and NASDAQ. European stocks are trading lower. Frankfurt, London, and Paris shares are down less than 1.5%. Asian markets close mostly lower today as well. Not much good news on the retail front either. Sales fell by the slightest of margins, 0.1%. While it was better than analysts had expected, it was a downturn from January when retail sales rose, a revised 1.8%. Standard & Poor's says it's cutting General Electric's credit rating because of problems at the conglomerate's lending arm. S&P lowered GE from AAA to AA+. That's a one-notch reduction. The move makes it more expensive for GE to raise money in the credit markets. February was yet another bad month for foreclosures. In a report out this morning, RealtyTrack says nearly 300,000 homeowners received at least one foreclosure notice last month. That's a jump of 6% from the month before. And compared to last year, things look even worse. The latest from Ashley Melntight.
The report shows February foreclosures were up 30% from last year. And that's something of a surprise, says Rick Schager of RealtyTrack.
This month, at least technically speaking, shouldn't have seen an increase at all. A lot of the major servicers, including Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, Citigroup, J.P. Morgan Chase, and Bank of America, had imposed moratoria on foreclosure activity through March 6th.
Most foreclosures are still concentrated in the West and in Florida, but they're rising fast in states like Idaho, Oregon, and Illinois. Schager says that may represent the first wave of unemployment-driven foreclosures. The Obama administration launched its plan to stem the foreclosure crisis last week. It aims to keep up to 9 million people in their homes through refinancing or loan modification. But Schager says their efforts will probably have only a slight impact on the foreclosure rate. I'm Ashley Milne-Tite for Marketplace.
An industry that may not be recession-proof, but actually recession-enabled. Sales of guns and ammo are on the rise, which is good news for firms such as Smith & Wesson. From the Entrepreneurship Desk at Oregon Public Broadcasting, here's Mitchell Hartman.
Even on a sunny day in Portland, the customers pile into Northwest Armory, a busy gun shop. Carl Durkheimer is the owner.
This is a striker-fired, polymer-framed gun, and it's in .40 Smith & Wesson caliber. It's ready to fire.
Analysts expect strong sales from Smith & Wesson. Durkheimer isn't surprised. He says their handgun business is doing particularly well.
Anything that you would be using for personal protection is selling much more than any kind of a sporting arms right now.
Durkheimer says many of the people buying pistols are first-time owners, and he's selling a lot of ammo.
They're worried about how do I take care of myself, how do I take care of my family, how do I take care of my property, because you know, they love their country, and they fear their government.
The FBI reports firearm permits soared nationwide after Democrats swept into office last fall. Gun owners apparently think an assault on gun rights is only a matter of time. In Portland, I'm Mitchell Hartman for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by LendingTree, where you can choose up to 4 customized loan offers. 1-800-555-TREE. When banks compete, you win. American Public Media presents Repossessing Virtue. Engage with wise voices on the economic downturn from moral and ethical perspectives at speakingoffaith.org.
In Europe, the financial fallout continues. While layoffs are on the rise, retail sales are on the decline. And what better time to debut a commercial about a perfume called Greed? From Rome, Megan Williams has a story.
Call it Eau de Economic Crisis, or better yet, Eau de Cause of Crisis. Greed, a new perfume by Italian artist Francesco Vezzoli. But here's where things get weird. The perfume doesn't actually exist. And the commercial for it, which debuted at the swanky Gagosian Art Gallery in Rome, is just as fake. In the ad, director Roman Polanski has Natalie Portman and Michelle Williams tussle on the floor of a luxurious hotel room. Each tries to wrest a clunky perfume bottle out of the other's arms. The smell of greed is apparently irresistible. But the so-called ad won't be appearing on TV anytime soon. It's actually an art installation. Francesco Vezzoli, who created it, has made a name for himself by mixing celebrity culture with art. He's done a trailer for a film that doesn't exist and staged the opening of a play that never took place. Everyone from Gore Vidal to Courtney Love has appeared. For the Greed ad, he purposely chose a director and actors who refused to do product promotion.
I hold up a mirror and I say, this is the world we live in. And I'm not a moralist, because if I were a moralist, I would have to be a clean person myself. Instead, I'm dirty, like all artists, so I can't claim any moral stance.
With Greed, Vezzoli wanted to replicate the process of making a celebrity commercial, but without the final sell.
On the front page of the Herald Tribune, it says, the world is sinking, and here there is the most famous director in the world filming a huge budget commercial for a perfume that doesn't exist. I think that's making trouble, and art is making trouble.
True, but as economies are sinking, should art be wasting money?
Oh no, we are not wasting money, we are entertaining ourselves.
In Rome, I'm Megan Williams for Marketplace.
Once again, stocks are lower at this hour, the Dow down about 0.5% in Los Angeles. I'm Steve Chiatakis. Thanks for being with us. Have a great Thursday.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.